From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jennifer Ludden. Daily news reports from Iraq usually center on the violence there, the aftermath of a car bomb, and body counts. Less often seen on TV screens is the tedium that fills soldiers' hours. A new documentary focuses on just that. It follows the lives of the 2nd Battalion, 3rd Field Artillery Regiment, known as the Gunners, stationed in Baghdad.
Hey, welcome to Gunner Palace. This palace was built after the first Gulf War for Saddam Hussein's first wife. Later, it was given to his son, Uday, who used this quite often to have his wild parties.
Michael Tucker is co-director of the documentary Gunner Palace, and he joins us from our New York Bureau. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So we just heard from one of the soldiers hanging out at Gunner Palace. You do an awful lot of hanging out with them there. They're filling long days. So you go out on a lot of raids. Not a lot of violence shown here. What was your point?
My point was to show day-to-day life there. So I spent 2 1-month periods with them, and the film shows exactly what happened in that time. I think what surprises people is the violence is not movie violence, what we're accustomed to. It's this 360-degree insurgency, and the violence is all around you all the time. For instance, when soldiers watch it, it really creeps them out because it really brings them back to that place and all that anxiety comes through.
When one soldier in the movie, they stop their convoy and they have to investigate a brown bag that's in the middle of the street. And he talks about feeling stupid, that the Iraqis must be looking at them and laughing because they've stopped everything to find out this brown bag really only contains some trash.
Oh, yeah. When you're rolling along, I mean, there's so much rubbish on the sides of the road in Baghdad, and those IEDs are in everything. They put them in dead animals. They put them into concrete curbs at night. You know, they send patrols first thing in the morning that, you know, look for, you know, odd signs. Then they call out these ordnance disposal teams. But, you know, they don't find everything. And it's really, really terrifying.
A lot of what these soldiers seem to be doing is figuring out ways to cope with this constant fear of violence from the insurgency.
In the film, you see them blowing off a lot of steam. There's a lot of laughter in the film. There's a lot of gallows humor. And that's just a reaction to the fact, you know, when you're out smoking a cigarette at night, suddenly, you know, rockets and mortars will come in.
At one point in Gunner Palace, you ask a soldier, what's so great about Baghdad? And here's his response.
The lovely sights, happy people, the flag.
Time and again, we're reminded that these soldiers out there risking their lives are very young kids. They're teenagers. We've got their laptops with them. It's kind of a connection to home. One guy is takes an electric guitar and plays the Star Spangled Banner, and you immediately think, oh, Vietnam. Did you get a sense of what their images of what war would be like were before they got there and how it might have been different?
Well, they're definitely programmed by media culture, so they all kind of walk in, you know, posturing from what they've seen in the movies. So some of them it's Platoon and some of them it's Apocalypse Now. For the younger kids, their responses to it are a direct reflection of South Park and, you know, just culture out of control.
Another recurring theme is how much some of these soldiers feel that no one back home really understands or even cares about what they're doing. Let's listen to one soldier who's speaking toward the end of the documentary.
When you sit in your couch and you watch the TV and you go to your 9-to-5 job and you complain about the pizza being late, there's no way you're going to know how we live here. Someone being sympathetic to this, I don't even know if I'd be sympathetic if I was in the Army. After you watch this, you're going to go get your popcorn out of the microwave and talk about what I say. And you'll forget me by the end of this.
You'll forget me by the end of this, he says.
Yeah, I think what those soldiers are expressing is that there's a disconnect. I mean, every family doesn't have someone there. You know, everyone doesn't have a friend there. Everyone doesn't have someone who they went to high school there. You know, there's 150,000 soldiers in Iraq right now fighting and dying every day, and most of us don't know one of them. We screened across America, and it's very different to be in a place like Fayetteville or Columbus, Georgia, compared to being, you know, in a big urban area where there isn't such a large military population.
I have to tell you, honestly, partway through this, I started thinking, I'm getting bored watching this. They're hanging and they're hanging again. Then there's a raid and there's another raid. And the first raids are thrilling, but then you kind of get used to, oh, another raid, which is kind of how the soldiers seem to feel. And I felt incredibly guilty feeling bored watching these people risk their lives. And then I thought, did you mean that intentionally?
Yeah, absolutely. Initially, they had a one-year tour. They ended up spending, they were extended, but they ended up spending, you know, between 410 and 420 days in Iraq. And this is an 85-minute film, and it's very difficult to capture. There are so many different facets to their experience. I mean, there's loneliness, there's boredom. Meanwhile, they're just trying to keep a sense of humor, you know, trying to stay alive, both physically and spiritually. And boredom is a huge part of it. I mean, the heat, you know, the banal. It's really important to convey that.
You went back two different times to film this, about 4 or 5 months in between your visits. What changes did you see in the soldiers in that time?
Well, what immediately happened, I mean, as soon as I got home, you know, we started editing, and then 3 weeks later, the first soldier in the unit was killed. And then by Christmas, two more young soldiers were killed from the unit. And so going back into that, the violence had ratcheted up so much, and he really sensed, you know, fear. The situation had become so gray. I think in the beginning, they felt a little bit more optimistic, and they could see positive things happening, and many of them felt really good about it. But then to be in a full-fledged insurgency where people are trying to kill you 24/7, it definitely raised some doubts in their minds.
Michael Tucker is the co-director of Gunner Palace. His documentary opens this weekend. Mr. Tucker joined us from our New York bureau. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can see a clip from Gunner Palace at npr.org.